Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts, chapter 8, and I want to... I have been working on this a while. You'll laugh when you hear the topic a little while later and how it just worked in. You know, isn't it amazing how many coincidences takes place with God? I don't believe in coincidences. I believe God has it planned. Amen. And I want to show you what it's all about. Acts chapter 8, we're going to start reading in verse number 25. And I hate to do this to you, but we're going to read all the way through the end of the chapter. I'm going to read along out loud. You follow silently. And I'm going to read it a little bit faster than normal here. So Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 40. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit saith unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What a wonderful passage right there. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. If I mispronounced it, you don't know it anyway. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, if you'll listen to me, we will take a journey through part of the book of Acts tonight that will help you. We have, I'll say this in introduction, we've allowed the charismatics, the holy rollers, the Pentecostals, the Church of God, allowed all these, I call them wigglers, to change the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like it's some spooky, tickle-feely ghost kind of thing that you need a medium. You have got to feel something. If the hair on the back of your neck doesn't stand up, you haven't felt the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you that's not what it's all about. The Holy Spirit is a real person. He is the person of God that enters you, that rebirths your spirit at salvation. He is God the Spirit. Now, he's not some spook who haunts people's lives. He's not like Casper the Friendly Ghost who goes around and moves things around and helps people and does this. It's not some friendly little ghost. It is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Acts chapter 8 is a very interesting chapter to me. And if you'll listen to me, I'm going to give you about a two-minute lesson on the book of Acts from chapter 1 to chapter 8. The book of Acts starts with Jesus telling the disciples to get off their blessed do-nothing and go out and take the gospel to every creature. He said, But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Watch this. Both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. He said, you're going to be going in all directions at the same time. He said, and it's your job to make sure you hit all those things. Well, in Acts chapter 2, you have what we know and we taught last week, Pentecost. You have the great awakening and revival, and you had all of the world there visiting, and you had 3,000 people saved and baptized in one day. And people who left there and went all over the place, but nobody to guide them after they got there. I want you to notice that the Great Commission, the command in Acts 1:8 wasn't given by Jesus to a crowd. It was given to the disciples. Now, I believe it's applicable to us, just so you know. But it was given to 11 men. You say, why not 12? Because one had committed suicide. That was Judas Iscariot. Now, listen to me very carefully. Chapters 3 through 6, you see phenomenal church growth. You see the church at Jerusalem growing and strengthening, and you see them regaining strength. They're building. And the reputation there in Jerusalem is just phenomenal. But chapter 7 hits. Anybody remember what happens in chapter 7? That's the chapter where the deacon Stephen is stoned. Not like Brother Rogers gets stoned, but it's where Stephen is actually stoned for taking a stand for Christ. He's killed. By the way, one of the men that was consenting at the death of Stephen was a young man named Saul of Tarsus, who would later become the Apostle Paul. But I want you to take your Bible, stay there in Acts chapter 8, look at verse number 1. All of a sudden in chapter 7, persecution comes. You've got great growth, you've got strength, you've got people being saved, and then persecution comes. You say, why? Because they weren't leaving going around the world. Look at chapter 8, verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Look at me. The church. It doesn't say the churches, correct? So they had stayed in Jerusalem. But Jesus commanded them, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth, right? Let's keep reading. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. God said, you didn't obey me, so I'm going to bring persecution your way, and I'm going to crack this thing wide open and send you all out all over the place because you're not doing it on your own like I told you to do. Sometimes persecution comes is a good reason to get the gospel out, just so you know. They were content with staying at home. They were content with just being in Jerusalem, seeing great revival in Jerusalem, but God said, you go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. They were building Jerusalem, but they forgot the rest of it. Now, let me help you. Here in Acts chapter 8, we read a lengthy portion. My guess, I don't have confirmation of this. I would not argue with you over this, but I would guess it's the period of a few months, maybe 6 months. I doubt it was as much as a year. I don't know that the timing is the issue. But it's only been a few months since Pentecost. We're talking just months. We're not talking years and years and years have passed. You're talking about weeks, days, at most several months probably. And you have this great revival going on in the church at Jerusalem. You're having people saved constantly, explosion of church growth, and the persecution coming, and it's getting pretty serious. All of a sudden, an angel from the Lord comes down and tells Philip, one of the disciples, one of the apostles, he said, I want you to leave here, you go down south, and I want you to meet up with a fella that you'll know when you get there. Philip says, hey, I've been used to seeing what God's doing. I'll just do what God says. So Philip gets up. He goes down. south to a place called Gaza, or we now call it Gaza, the Gaza Strip. That is a little area on the southern part of Israel between Israel and Egypt, right at the edge of the Sinai Peninsula. It is a desert area. Matter of fact, people are still fighting. The Muslims and the Jews are still fighting there today. That's where all these rocket attacks are taking place between the Muslims and the Jews. They're all fighting over that little land called the Gaza Strip. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's not in Jerusalem. That's in the southern tip of the country. Now, Philip goes down. He sees a very wealthy Ethiopian eunuch. This is a man of great authority. This is a man who would be very much the same as our director or ministry of the treasurer department here in America. He would be the, used to be Ben Bernanke. I'm not sure if he's still the guy that oversees the treasury department or not. I got to laugh. Did you know he got denied a loan? he got upset because he got denied a loan. He said, y'all are carrying this out a little too far now. It's different when it's coming down on him, amen? But it just was a bit humorous to me. Thought I'd throw it in there. But he is the minister of finance for the whole country of Ethiopia. He was the right-hand go-to person for the queen of Ethiopia. This is a man that had a lot of power. This isn't some weirdo in a zoot suit riding on the back of a camel somewhere. This is a man that had an entourage, had a lot of authority, had a lot of power, probably had been in Jerusalem. The Bible says he was coming from Jerusalem. He had probably been there for Candace the queen because of Pentecost, purchasing things from the Jews because of it being a year of Jubilee. That would have been one of the reasons probably he was there. And while he was there, he had probably heard the gospel here and there and had picked up a copy of the Bible. Say, can't be. The Bible says he was reading verse 39, and Philip ran hither and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. That's the book of Isaiah. Huh. He was reading in the Bible. And Philip says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? He said, how can I understand that unless somebody guide me? And the Bible says Philip ran to him. Did you notice? It says he ran down to him and began to preach unto him Jesus. He didn't walk, he ran. Say why? He was used to running, seeing people getting saved, amen? He was running all over the place, and it is like God had planned this meeting. Can I tell you something? God had planned this meeting. I want you to know a prepared, yielded person to the Holy Spirit was ready for a person who was ready for the Holy Spirit. You had a person who was prepared, listening to the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit. You had somebody searching for the truth, wanting to know what God wanted. And God said, I can put these two together. And there they were. We would call it a divine appointment. We would call it a divine meeting. Now, is all it was Philip was simply obeying the Holy Spirit. Philip was not looking for a divine appointment. Philip was looking to obey the Holy Spirit. The divine appointment came when the prepared person looking for him showed up. Now, listen to me very carefully. It all hinged on Philip obeying the Holy Spirit. Let me talk to you tonight about the Holy Spirit in divine appointment or divine meetings, however you would like to word it. Number one, and this will be very simple tonight, and I think I can help you. The Holy Spirit will lead you to do God's work. The Holy Spirit will lead you to do God's work. Can I tell you something? God gave you the Holy Spirit so that you would do God's work. God gave you the Holy Spirit so that you would get closer to God. God gave you the Holy Spirit so that you could help meet the needs of the people that God would reach if he were here on earth himself. By the way, he is, through the person of the Holy Spirit, inside the saved person. So, God saved you to do those things. The Holy Spirit is not there to give you goosebumps and shiver and say, oh, I got it, I felt it. The Holy Spirit is not there just to give you personally comfort. God will give you comfort so that you can comfort someone else. Did you catch that? The comfort wasn't necessarily for you. It was for you to get and for you to use to help someone else, not for you to say, oh, I just sensed the Holy Spirit because I got comfort. I'm glad you sensed the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't because he filled you. It's because the person that gave you the comfort had the Holy Spirit. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. We're going somewhere. God has people who need to be saved, but you need to be going. Do you know that you don't know who you're going to win to the Lord, so you ought to witness to all of them? God's not going to come to you in a vision and show you a 900-foot vision of the person you're supposed to talk to Saturday morning out soul winning. Everybody doing all right? Brother Jimmy called me one day and said, preacher, got a man I work with. His 28-year-old son's dying of brain cancer. Can you talk to him? I went out. Jimmy and I went out, sat down at the table, and I led Bob and Melissa to the Lord that night. Miraculous. You say, what was that? Divine appointment. They called me 2 or 3 weeks later and said, our son Bobby, who's dying, will be here. Can you come out and talk to him? Can you tell him how to go to heaven like you told us? That's like stink on a bug, amen? It was, here we go. Say, what was that? I prayed. I asked for God. I asked some of you to even pray that Bobby would get saved. I led Bobby to the Lord. Miraculously. Bobby died. My dad and I went up less than 12 hours before he was in heaven. We drove all the way to Pennsylvania to go see him. They asked me to take a few minutes and speak at the funeral. You say, what were you going to say? I honestly did not know. I didn't know what I was facing. I got there, my wife will tell you, it was a rough looking crowd. The chaplain who stood and spoke, who cussed about 7 times while he was given the eulogy. No lie. I was watching people every time he actually cursed. And I was watching people going like this. Change my message real quick. Say, what happened when you got up? I preached unto them Jesus. I told how Bobby got saved. And 23 hands went up and they got saved. Now, wait a minute, what was that? There was 26 people who got saved. At least that we know of. Can I tell you what it was? Divine appointment. What if I wouldn't have been willing to go? What if I'd have said, Brother Jimmy, why don't you tell him? Jimmy had tried. Jimmy did everything he knew to do. It was a divine appointment. Here just a couple months ago, Kay and Kermit asked me to go see Leroy up in the hospital all the way over somewhere in Maryland. We drove up there. Hard, rough critter. You could see how sin had taken hold of this man's life, and he was rough. You say, were you scared? I wasn't scared of what I was going to say. I was scared of what he was going to say. I really didn't know how it was going to go. Say, what did you do? For the drive up there, I was back there saying, oh, God, this is not fair. Oh, God, help me. Say, why? I got folks depending. This guy's eternity. He's dying. I walked in and I said, Holy Spirit, it's all yours. I sat down. I'll promise you, I hadn't been there 60 seconds. And Leroy started crying. I thought, he's not as tough as he thought he was. We began to talk. I ended up, after a little while, winning that man to the Lord. What's really neat is, later that next day, or later that night, next morning, one of Kay's sons got saved out of that deal. Whew. Say, what is that? Divine appointment. But what if I would have said, I can't go. I got too much to get done. Let me ask you a question. Who's not going to be reached because of you? You see, God has people who need help, who God wants you to help, but if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, they're not going to get the help they need. Brother Mark and I went to the hospital last night to help one of our ladies that was in the hospital. Walked in, prayed with her. Well, I had to walk past a bed to get to where she was. Got in there. I was getting ready to leave. Brother Mark said, do you know who was in that first bed? I said, no, there was about a half dozen nurses standing there. I didn't look. It wasn't who I was going to stop and see. He told me who it was. It's somebody I knew. I say, what'd you do? On my way back through, I stopped. I didn't know whether to duck or pucker, but I stopped. Started talking to him for a little while. It was friendly fire. We were okay. They asked me to pray before I left, and I got out of there. Say, what was that? I believe it was a divine appointment. I really do. By the way, this isn't somebody that likes my insides. I'm not kidding. Matter of fact, they'd prefer my insides not be inside anymore. But when they were down, they needed help. Guess what? I happened to be there. I didn't know. Say, did you feel bad about it? No. I call that a divine appointment. Virtually every sermon I preach is this way. I wish you could hear what people say to me. Oh, preacher, how did you know? I didn't, God did. Did you? No, I didn't, but God did. You know, God has people who need help. Can I tell you? God does business this way. You walk out there and look at that vehicle and you go try to buy that vehicle for what it's been offered to this church for. I challenge you. And look how God provided the finances to match what the last one was for. I was joking with Brother Rogers last night. I said, well, if we drive this one for a year and somebody steals it and we get the equity out of it, we can pay for the next one cash. I'm not looking for that to happen, just so you know. I'd like to buy one and keep it. You say, where are you going to keep it? Right where it's at right now, inside. I'm going to break the building in to get to this one. I'm going to get low jack. I'm going to get car alarms. I'm going to chain it. You name it, we're going to do it. Good night. You know, these events are not spooky events. God doesn't come to me and say, ooh, Brother Bush, you're supposed to go here. Oh, okay, I'll go there. God sent me here. You know, every time I knock on a door, God sent me there. Brother Smith, you've been with me soul winning. A bunch of you men have been with me soul winning. I'll knock on a door. I'll tell them who I am, where I'm from. I'll say, do y'all get to go to church somewhere regular? Nope. You're just the person I'm looking for. You say that? Mm-hmm. Say why? Because that's who I'm looking for. You say, what is that? Divine appointment. But it all hinged on me getting up off my blessed assurance, going out and knocking on doors, doing what God asked me to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're not spooky events. God uses a yielded person to the Holy Spirit to get what he wants for them and for someone else. I have to tell this story. I'm probably going to get in trouble, but that's okay. 27 years ago this week, I was at college. I was in a hurry. They had what they called, I think it was called the lunch bag line. You could go down and, we didn't call it, we called it the gag bag line. I don't know what else to call it. When Dr. J used to get up and talk about the fellas getting their gag bags, he would actually use that word in chapel because nobody else knew what the lunch line meant, you know? So he just used what we used. But I was in a hurry. I was working full time, going to college, taking 21 hours of class that semester. I was working 40 hours a week, driving an hour each way to and from work. I was a Bible club leader. I had two Bible clubs. I was an assistant to Brother Owens. I had a bus route that I was running on top of all that. I didn't have time for anything. I'm not kidding. Just getting to survive that semester was going to be something. And it was the 100th year of the church, and Brother Hiles wanted to have a super colossal, huge day on November 22nd in 1987. He wanted to have more people in church, in meetings for the church, than were in the population of the city of Hammond, which was 78,000 people. He wanted to have more than 78,000 people in church in one Sunday, and we did. It was nuts, okay? It was just total chaos, stupidity, nuts. Well, I was hurrying. I was walking down that hall. You had to walk the way I came. I had to walk past all the stuff to get to the beginning of the line to come back and get all my stuff. And I was hurrying. I just got about to where I was at, and I come by a doorway and was going like this, and a little blonde-haired girl come walking out and had her arms full of brooms and buckets and mops, and they went everywhere, and she went down. Say why? Because I hit her. I didn't mean to, but I hit her. So I helped her pick everything up and apologized and said, oh, I'm sorry, and went on my way. Didn't think nothing of it. I went back the next day. I was getting my lunch. Almost said it. I was getting my lunch, and this blonde-haired girl came out at the same time, same place. And I apologized again and introduced myself. I didn't feel like I was real kind the day before. We began to talk, and I found out she was from Ohio. She had been living there. And I found out that her mom and dad and her home church was the church that my mom and dad had just gone to because they moved from one part of the state to the other. So we talked for a few minutes. I had to go. I was going to work, got my stuff, ran out of there. The next day, she was there again. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, stupid, how many times are we going to have to go through this? So on October 10th, we had our first date. This Friday will be 27 years since our first date. And I didn't date anybody else from that day on, okay? But I remembered it Monday this week. I reminded her of it, and she said, oh, yeah, that was this week, wasn't it? I said, yeah. Wait a minute. What was that? I believe it was a divine appointment. I'm not sure it was a divine appointment that I knocked her on the ground. But I do believe it was a divine appointment that we met that day. Now, it was her appointment for the next 2 days showing up at the same time, same place. That was her part. Why she did it, I don't know. She's probably had more than one regret ever since. But it's not something spooky, folks. I wasn't looking for a wife. I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. I wasn't looking for a date. I was looking to get a gag bag and go to work. But I was doing everything I knew to do. I was yielded the best I could. We went on our first date, and as of this Friday, it will have been 27 years ago, I knew for sure I would be married to her, and we've been married for 25 years. I knew after the first date. Divine appointments. So, number one, the Holy Spirit will lead you to do God's work. Number two, and this one will go a little faster, sometimes the Holy Spirit keeps you from doing negative, or he leads you a negative direction. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, just a few pages over. I want to show you something here. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's there telling you he wants you to do something good. He's prompting you to do something good. Acts chapter 16, look at verse number 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now look at me. Paul and Barnabas were traveling, and they wanted to go to this place, and the Holy Spirit said, don't go there. You're going to get in trouble. Don't you do that. Well, what about? They said, don't go there. Door's closed there. You just keep going where we want you to go. And the Holy Spirit led them to go somewhere else. But I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit can keep you from a bad situation. The Holy Spirit's not just going to lead you to good things. He'll lead you away from negative things. Let me show you what I mean. That voice inside you that you're about to do something sinful that you know you should not do, that says, you know you shouldn't do that. That's the Holy Spirit. Say, well, what sin? The one you're thinking about right now. That one thing that you know you should not do. The Holy Spirit says, don't do that. And you're saying, but it'll be okay this time again. Oh, no, don't do that. And you do it. You see, sometimes it's a situation. There's been times that I pray about everything. I say, Lord, don't put me in a bad spot. If I'm not supposed to be there, let me know. Man, I've gotten myself out of more situations that way, found out something else happened. Say, what was it? Now, it doesn't happen with everything. I understand that. But there are times, because I yielded to the Holy Spirit said, I don't think that's wise to do. And later I found out what happened and was, boy, I was glad I wasn't there.
You don't decide what the Holy Spirit says. You follow His leadership. Well, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to... You're getting into this feel-like stuff. That's charismatic. I was invited to go preach at a church years ago. I really didn't have peace about it. I went to my pastor. And I said, I'm really not interested in traveling, not interested in going. He said, well, I don't think it'd be a bad thing. He said, but why do you feel so negative about this? I said, I don't know. Something's just not right. He said, don't go. Don't go. I said, okay. You know, I found out just a couple weeks later that the church was going through a major, major problem. And had I showed up, it would have been even worse. It was ugly. A few years ago, I had a lady that would call, and she would beg for my counsel. She begged to come to my office and see me. But she kept telling me she had to see me by myself and that the door had to be shut. And I said, ma'am, you can come, but somebody else will be in my office when you come. I smelled a rat. Somebody was trying to set me up. By the way, they did show up. Eventually, they just showed up one day and came into my office, waited for my secretary to be gone, walked in, opened the door, and shut the door in my office. And I got up and opened the door and threw somebody out. Found out later they were part of a crowd that was trying to lure me and to get me into something that was and throw false accusations against me. Thank God I had my safeguards up listening to the Holy Spirit. We say, that wouldn't happen. Happens more than you think. You see, the Holy Spirit will show you sinful things to avoid if you'll just yield to Him. Do you know that the Holy Spirit has no problem telling you what's wrong? Well, how do I know? What's wrong with this? Let me ask you a question. What's right with it? In fact, you have to defend what's wrong with it. Number three, and I'm done. And you're glad. Yielding to the Holy Spirit will allow for God to work out the timing. Yielding to the Holy Spirit will allow for God to work out the timing. Can I tell you something? Some people force God into situations and then get mad because he didn't work on their timetable. I just wanted to go to Kohl's and see if they had this dress on sale. Not that you looked at the ad Sunday. And I found out they had it on sale. And it was obviously the Lord that took me there to show me that it was on sale. So I bought it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Don't blame that one on God. Or fellas, you were at Dick's just looking and found out that thing that you were looking for was on sale. So it must have been the Holy Ghost that led you there. That's forcing it. Now I went to Medlin, didn't I? All right. And listen to this very carefully. There's zero people in mind. I've been in the ministry long enough. I watched this happen. Somebody's got an itch to do something. So they, let's say they want to move jobs. They go put applications in everywhere. And then they come back and say, ha, God called and I've got an opportunity. I say, did you put the application in? Yeah, a couple months ago. Then I'm not sure that's all God. When the job opportunity comes to you and you didn't put the application in, then let's go talk. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm about to have fun. I got to tell this story. I heard Brother Hiles, bless God, I never had a resume. He said, God knows my phone number. God knows my address. He knows how to get a hold of me. I thought, that's the way I'm going to live. By the way, that's how I have lived for 25 years. I don't have a resume. Say why? I can't spell it. No, I have, it's unreal. I was out in California, never had a resume. Moved to South Carolina, never had a resume. Brother Hiles called, asked me to go work there at First Baptist. I didn't have a resume. Well, between the time he had called and we had accepted and the time I got there, one of his assistants, I won't give the name, called me and said, Brother Hiles needs your resume. And it was somebody that worked at the college. And I said, Brother Hiles has my phone numbers. He knows where I'm at. He's already hired me. If he needs a resume, he can call me himself. He said, no, Brother Hiles asked me. I said, I don't have one. Tell him I don't have one. I went up, I think I was taking a group of ladies up there for something, and I was to meet with Brother Hiles for a few moments, and I met with him, and he said, Craig, he said, did so-and-so call you? I said, yes, sir. He said, did he ask for your resume? I said, yes, sir. He said, where's it at? I said, don't have one. He said, why not? I said, do you have one? He said, he won't call you anymore. That's all I said. I wasn't being unkind. I thought, you already hired me. What do you need a resume for? He said, do you have a resume? I don't have one. God knows my phone number. I don't call people saying, well, can I come preach for you? I don't do it. You say, why? It's not my job. If God wants me to preach somewhere, he'll open the door and tell me it's time to go. Until then, I'm happy right here. Don't plan on going nowhere. Wait a minute. It's amazing how many people get jobs, find the will of God after they went looking for it. Moses wasn't looking for a way through the Red Sea. God opened it up to him. Did you get it back there, Leslie? Good. All right. You know how he attracts those kind of things back there. Sorry. That's what that little was. She was getting that bug back there. All right. I didn't know stink bugs were that big, though. All right. But can I tell you something? Just keep yielding. Quit looking for circumstances. Just keep yielding. Quit looking for circumstances. I have a sermon I'm going to preach here. As a matter of fact, I'm turning it into our next Wednesday night Bible study. Faith is the substance, not the circumstance. Faith is a substance. It's not a circumstance. Chew on that one a while. Quit trying to line up the circumstances and say, it's the Holy Spirit. You don't have to line up circumstances to prove that it's the Holy Spirit. I wasn't even going to call the person who has helped us find that van. But one of our men said, why don't you call so-and-so? I thought, got nothing to lose. What was that? Divine appointment. I listened to somebody that had the work of the church and was yielded to the Holy Spirit. I'm not even sure the guy's a saved man yet. Working on it. Seal the deal, then I'm going to talk to him a while, amen? Said he's going to come visit church. He might not come back, but he's going to get the truck unloaded, amen? Can I tell you something? When you do what God says, the circumstances line up. It's not you wait for the circumstances to line up to do what you're supposed to do. Did you catch that? Too many people are trying to get the circumstances in line and say, oh, that must be the Holy Spirit. No, you just keep doing the what you're supposed to do. God lines the circumstances up. Then you look back and say, only God. Only God. The one salesman, he couldn't believe somebody stole our other church van. Now, if we look at that in our flesh, it makes me mad. But look what it appears as though God's doing. He had something better. God gave us the need for a van. And he said, I'll provide it by my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let me show you what I can do. You followed me on the last van. Watch what I'll do on this one. And look what God hath done. He even provided the need. It wasn't a want. God knows I didn't want something that new. Matter of fact, when he said 2014, I went, this is going to get ugly. How do I tell this guy no again? Say, what was that? God took care of it. You see, the Holy Spirit will use you to do the work of God. It's not just what you want. God supplied the need of the van and made this van waiting for us at the right time through the right people who were doing the work of God. And I love what Brother Mark and I said last night. Wonder how many people are going to get saved because of a new van, whether it's that one or some other one. I wonder how many people got saved because of that other van. I know one that needed to get saved. Guy that stole it. But that van's used on Saturdays for soul winning. It's been used for teen soul winning. It's been used for picking people up, bringing them to church that got saved. There have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saved because of that last van. Before it gave up the ghost against that telephone pole, buddy, it got used for God, amen? But when it stopped running, God had another need provided for us. He was just waiting for us to be yielded to find what he had for us. That's what divine appointment is all about. It's not some spooky thing. Okay. God, am I supposed to go here? You don't have to ask. You just keep doing. God will show you. Well, I looked at that house and I didn't have the peace of the Holy Spirit to knock on the door and witness to them. No, you go knock on the door. Quit playing God. Yeah. Well, it said keep out. You know how many people I've won on no trespassing signs? No soliciting? We won't go there. Because I don't need another phone call this week. Where's Rachel and my wife? Stay off of that street, all right? You know, I've won many people to Christ. Usually the ones I say, ha, this one's going to be a good one. Those are the ones I get kicked out of. Say why? Because that's me, not God. When you let God do it, you don't know what it is. My dad was out soul winning with his pastor in Indiana. Knocked on a door. They started talking to him. Said, if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? The guy stepped away from the door and had a 357 Magnum pistol in his hand, or a 9mm, and said, I was getting ready to pull the trigger and kill myself. Come on in. Had an open Bible on the coffee table. My dad took the gun away from the guy, and the preacher led the guy to the Lord. That's what you call divine appointment. Wonder if those two men wouldn't have gone soul winning that night, what would have happened? The man would have blown his brains out and been burning in hell right now. Did they know that was going to happen before they knocked on that door? No, that was the last thing they were thinking of. Those divine appointments aren't something that God puts an ooky spooky feeling in you and the hair on your neck goes like this and you say, okay, this is going to be the one. You better stop at the washroom first then. You've got other problems. It's not the Holy Spirit. Folks, you just keep doing what you're supposed to do. God will bring those divine appointments. You'll look back and say, that was a divine appointment. The divine appointment doesn't line up and you say, that's the one. Philip wasn't looking for the Ethiopian eunuch. He was just obeying the Holy Spirit. He didn't know the guy was going to get saved. By the way, as soon as he got done getting saved, Philip took off, started running and find another one. Isn't that what it's all about? That's what divine appointments and the Holy Spirit are all about. Let's stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks, it's not real rocket science. It's just listening to the Holy Spirit as you do what you are supposed to do.